brought to you by Carol Beck and broadcasting live from the Dallas Entrepreneur Center, The Deck at 311 North Market Street, Suite 200 in Dallas, Texas. It's time for Career Advancement Radio, providing information to help enhance your career. Now here's your host, Dr. Marilyn Carroll.
Good morning, Dallas, and welcome to today's show. I'm Dr. Marilyn Carroll, and today we have a question in the Ask Dr. Marilyn box from a manager at a company. And this manager does not want their name disclosed or their company disclosed. And the manager goes on to say, "Dear Dr. Marilyn, I'm a manager in an organization. I have reached senior level. However, I have challenges with the way the organization is being managed and the way I'm having to manage some of my lower level talent. I don't think that we're getting the best out of our staff. And I really feel as though there needs to be some type of program to help our leadership program develop into a more robust process that helps to generate future leaders of our organization. I'm afraid that we're bringing in a lot of young talent. Not that I'm afraid of that talent. They bring valuable skills to the table. However, this talent is also not prepared to deal with the challenges that the organization has overall and in the future. So I'm going to start by addressing this particular question to our Ask Dr. Marilyn box by a paper that was written by Bram Lotsky of Manpower. As a consultant with Manpower, as we know, Manpower is a large employment and consulting organization. I have friends that work at Manpower out of the Atlanta area and out of the California office. Here goes in Bronze article. He says 87% of organizations do not believe they have the future leaders identified to fill crucial roles, and 40% of companies' leaders feel unprepared to meet the business issues they face or will face in the future. 87%, wow, of organizations don't believe that they have the future leaders identified to fulfill critical roles, and 40% of companies' leaders feel unprepared to lead. And so I would say that our reader and our person to our inbox that started our conversation today that's in senior management is not alone. They seem to be on point. Let's take this. One of the things that this show prides itself on for Career Advancement Radio is mixing concrete research information and with industry information, as well as individual expertise and knowledge of those that are presenting on the show. And that happens to be me. The purpose of our show today is to really come back and talk about management competencies or leadership competencies that provide a framework for building competency modeling for organizations, which I know that many of the reviews starting back in the early 2000s, maybe late 90s, started having a lot of competency models attached to performance review. And many times the performance review process and the competency models didn't necessarily relate to what the organization's vision and mission were and what they were trying to accomplish, as well as looking at all the key areas that the company may need in order to be going forward. I don't think a lot of times we know how to use HR to get to what we're trying to achieve and have HR as that partner. Probably getting better based on some of the papers and research and conversations I'm having out there. And we're getting a little bit better at identifying some things, but there's still much work to do. Competencies cover about three broad categories, and they are organizational competencies. And those competencies are unique to competitive attributes that form the basis upon which organizations compete. Now, sometimes these attributes are referred to as core competencies, and it's the organization's strength that gives an organization a competitive advantage over competitors. For example, Dell core competence lies in their superior supply chain management system, whereas Apple's core competency lies in their ability to make products and services that are individuals don't understand that they're in demand, but they make them become in demand. And so then there's personal competencies. That's number two. And that competency has characteristics representing general standards for acceptable performance. For example, level of achievement or output in a given role. And they consider jobs that are like sales manager, technical support, team leaders, things of that nature. Have a personal competency level that if they adequately perform at that level, typically expected of that particular level, their performance then generates higher performance for the organization as well as for that individual and their ability to perform that job in superior performance outcome. And then we have job role competencies, and these are skills and behavior that are necessary to achieve that superior performance in a specific job and or the duty or the organizational level in a company. These individuals for the individual job role competencies exist in a number of levels. The role leader of a meeting or the job or position in a team or the job level. Maybe it's a manager or senior manager or mid-level manager, even though those are kind of going away. And we know that there are several job levels associated with that job level. And then we have the entire organization and how that function relates to that entire organization and that job role competency level. And then the broad band of jobs, are they professional or technical level jobs? And then these job competencies, they provide the footing for our discussion today. So job role competencies measure knowledge, skills, and abilities shown to predict superior performance. They are applied to managers and job role competencies that define effective management performance. And really, they're thought of as a management competencies. Throughout our discussion today, based on our question that we got to the Dr. Marilyn Box, we're going to spend that time on that. So now that you understand the three levels of job competencies, categories rather, organizational competencies, personal competencies, and job role competencies. The most widely used behavior competencies are those related to team, organization, communication skills, people skills, planning and organization, problem solving, results organization, and results orientation, as well as customer focus. Now, job role competencies may be broken down into a number of observable items, like I just talked about, the behavior, the knowledge and the motivation, whereas behavior competencies, behaviors are a person may exhibit that result in good performance. And that person says or way that person says or does or determines that performance. For example, an HR competency dimension of performance management, a manager would be expected to exhibit certain behaviors such as communication, clear performance standards and monitoring employees' performance and providing performance feedback and recommending corrective action when necessary. And sometimes people spend a little bit too much time on corrective actions in a way that are bring negative effects instead of positive effects from an individual. And then there's knowledge competency. Knowledge competency is a person's knowledge of facts, technologies, or processes, or procedures related to their job, diplomas, license, certificates, as well as a person's ability to apply that knowledge or signs of such knowledge and competencies. Next, we have motivational competencies. And these are examples of the job role of personal competencies. And we know there's three. I'm talking about additional things that relate to those competencies. So motivational competencies, an individual's feeling about their job or their organization or geographic location, which may impact their performance. And on one of our shows, we talked about an individual that had some job-related or motivational-related competencies that have changed over the years and may have been performing extremely well, even though they didn't like the job, but they performed well because it was based on an intrinsic need they had at that time, an internal need. So motivational competencies focus on motivational aspects of a job, a proper fit for a job, the organizational fit or the location fit. And generally, motivational competencies cannot be developed. They're either there or they're not. So motivational competencies are something that organizations really need to pay attention to, as well as individuals. And then it would help us a lot not waste time in particular jobs or particular areas that are not suitable for us. So let's go on and talk about these different These are different, and then we'll go into the different approaches associated with companies have examined, which have caused some of the challenges that we may be having today. So changes in the business world have made the use of management competency models more relevant, prevalent, or for the following reason. There's a rapidly changing team-oriented or virtual organizations, which means that the traditional definitions of jobs are increasingly rare. And management competencies fill the void by clearly defining what is expected of employees. And then there's the flattening of organizations with fewer levels of employment within an organization and have fewer advancement opportunities that translate to a more horizontal selection process. And this creates less room for error due to a smaller number of promotional job opportunities. We see a lot of this happening, even though we're in this social network type of organizations that we see, that a lot of times with flattening organizations, we're choosing the wrong individuals to move forward and manage those organizations, which are causing extreme challenges for the organization that are not necessary. Even though it's great to have people we trust and need at the organization, it's our role as leaders in organizations to make sure that we understand more of the people in the organization so that we find the right fit for jobs and not just necessarily a fit because it's my friend or somebody I can trust and know on a personal level. Because those individuals may do the things that you would do ordinarily and not necessarily the things that are best for the organization to not challenge you. So having the right individuals on your team is extremely important as you go through these flattening organizations. And remember that this room for error is very small and it can make and break you. And this whole area increases the need for defining and using competencies to aid in the selection process and the accuracy of that selection process. Next, we know that the more dynamic workplace and the path to advancement being less clear, we need to define, we need more well-defined competencies provided at a better self-guidance and career planning prospect. As individuals become more increasingly responsible for their career planning, career guidance assistance is needed. Therefore, competencies provide this needed assistance, okay? Knowing and having the right managers in place to do that is extremely important. Next, with the increased overlap between employee and management roles, clearly defined work roles are imperative, and competencies fill the void by clarifying organizational expectations and individual responses to the needs of the organization. This is very much so as because people watch, our team members watch how the organization is being managed and who is really the manager and who's really the leader of the organization or the business unit based on what's really happening or how they perceive that person has the competency levels needed to really manage the group. Having the wrong person in place a lot of times will break down an area and build up silos that are unnecessary but quiet. And if we keep doing it, then organizations have increased model that or challenge. I wouldn't say model, but challenge for that organization. Next, we have a global workforce requirements that require our ability to operate effectively across cultural assignments. And this is seen in larger organizations or even small organizations where you have the person to fit right person to fit needed. And as you're operating these global organizations and these large complex environments, there's a need to understand cross-cultural assignments and how people work in those particular areas of the world and that their expectations. And a lot of times we have challenges, huge challenges with this as well. So companies are uniquely suited to providing benchmarks for uniform standards that can be applied worldwide. And this sometimes creates challenges. And that's why, again, as we'll go through different topics and discussions, we see that there are many challenges with the larger organizations versus smaller organizations that can implement things and bring people in. And they have more of that family fit that we talked about before on the show that help people to really be nurtured and grow in that environment and to be more accepting each other and the skill sets that they bring to the table because they get to know that individual. In larger organizations, we only know people for their specialties. Organizations have two basic approaches to defining and developing competencies in organization. They have the behavioral approach and the clinical approach. Now, the behavioral approach is, the behavioral approach to defining the competencies sometimes does cause a few of our challenges because we're looking at totally at behaviors instead of looking at the whole process. Let's see if we can come up with some examples. In essence, if you look at the behavior approach, it concentrates on behaviors, motivations, and knowledge relevant to a particular job. And then the job relevant behavior, or it's the job relevant behavior, not that it is. Okay, so let me say that again. The behavior approach really concentrates on behaviors, motivations, and knowledge relevant to a particular job. On the other hand, the clinical approach identifies underlying personal characteristics of the individuals as the basis for defining competencies. It's independent of any job connection. Therefore, it's the clinical approach that targets the personal characteristics of, say, superior performance performers that otherwise wouldn't be stated unless they were part of that approach. As we wind down on this one, I wanted to talk about some of the things, how people come up, how employers come up with these approaches. And there are about seven, and we're going to cover those. There's three. But in those three, there's four additional ones that we talk about. So we're going to try to run through those in the next 10 minutes. So we have the borrowed approach. Now, the borrowed approach is the easy and less expensive competency modeling approach. The borrowed approach simply borrows an approach from an existing organization without taking into consideration the uniqueness of the adopter. The shortcomings there are the possibility of the borrowed model not being appropriate for that borrowing organization. So just because something is done at GM doesn't necessarily mean I need to have it over at Apple, or something at Apple doesn't mean I need to have it at Starbucks, or something at Starbucks, you get the gist of this, doesn't mean that I need it at the local pizzeria. Okay. Borrowed and tailored approach combination is a variation of both models. It is an approach that is tailored it's a borrower method, but it's tailored. And in this approach, the borrower borrows a competency framework from an existing organization, yet tailors the model to the borrower's structure and culture and resources, human, technical, financial, informational. And then there's the tailored approach. The tailored approach, as its name suggested, is tailored to the competency model according to the unique needs of that organization. The process-driven and outputs-driven approach are classic tailored approaches that have been used for some time in many organizations are more commonly utilized. And several of the new approaches that are the invented approach, the trends-driven approach, and the work responsibility approach. The process-driven approach emphasizes work process, job activities, personal characteristics, and behaviors required for exemplary job performance. And then there's the output-driven approach. And then it identifies the outputs of a given job that a successful performer produces. And the competencies are then developed based on those key outputs. Next we have the invented approach. This is a new model of competency that was developed without regard to an existing approach. This approach is used when exemplary performance performers are unable for the organization, are unavailable, or the organization is not about to undergo, or the organization is about to undergo a drastic change. So these invented approaches to competency levels, you'll see when there's about to be a change in the organization and they're not quite sure which way to go, but they're going to change it because they need to make this approach in order to get rid of some of the talent or to reinvent some of that talent or force a reinvention of some of that talent. Next, we have the trends-driven approach, and this focuses on what people must know or be able to do in response to managing a change environment. And the trends-driven approach is something we'll see many times in organizations that may work or may not work. Next, we have the work responsibilities-driven approach. And this derives work outputs, competencies, roles, and quality requirements from work responsibilities or activities. So this is an approach that many organizations may adopt or probably should adopt in order to make sure that what the organization is about will be the best thing to help the organization to grow. So these management competencies need or require the right type of leadership model also to implement them. Based on where you are, you may need a process-driven manager or leader, an outputs-driven manager, or somebody who's going to come in and reinvent the organization, but at the same time, know which competency model that's needed in order to make that, drive that organization to stay within the mission and the vision of that organization to be the most effective for that organization. So we want to make sure that these approaches are right for the company. So we have the borrowed approach, the borrowed and tailored approach, which is a variation from the borrowed approach and a tailored approach. And then we have the tailored approach. So there's three approaches. So once we get those three approaches, and then we look at process-driven, outputs-driven, invented approach, or the trends-driven approach. So we have the three at the top, and then within those three at the top, we have what we're trying to do at the bottom to implement those and still stand into characteristics with the three I mentioned earlier. So I hope this is not a little bit too much academic for you, but you're getting the gist of why companies do some of the things that they are doing and their competency models that you may be using on your performance review. So performance, this whole competency model use was a performance management and career development approach. And these models were used earlier, typically applied primarily to senior managerial personnel and not necessarily all the personnel, but in this 21st century, we started using more competency-based modeling. We were ending the 90s and coming into the 21st century. And the various use of models were used for executive development, recruitment and selection, compensation, performance appraisal, career development, job design, organization design, training and development, training needs analysis, and succession planning, which comes back to Bram Lovansky's comment in his article where he quotes that 87% of organizations do not believe they have the future leaders needed. So you may not have them because your competency, your management competency levels and base may not be the proper balance of what you need in order to achieve your desired outcomes for the organization. In order for competency-based models to work right, performance review and appraisals must be done adequately, and improving employee effectiveness may be done adequately in achieving greater organizational effectiveness. Training needs analysis and career management. Career management, career management, career management is so important. You cannot get away with not doing it. One of the suggestions I make is maybe you don't want to, you don't have enough talent or compensation to spend on this, but maybe it may be good to plop somebody in your office and say, or bring somebody on board as a consultant and have them do some of the career management for your company. This is a resource, and say it's a resource to the people. It have nothing to do with the company necessarily, as far as giving that information that they discuss with their career management person. May not, you know, get back to the company, but at least you're providing it so that the employees have a base to have someone to talk to about some of the things that are going on with them. And it's so much better to hold on to a staff member and put them in various different places within the organization and still are keeping them stagnant into the specialized areas that they come through. Core competencies form the foundation of an organization and help the foundation of its team members and its staff to develop and do the best job possible. There was one study done where it studied 1,800 managers over a period of 5 years. And that study aimed at identifying the competencies of successful managers. And the results of that found that the successful managers had specialized knowledge, intellectual maturity, entrepreneurial maturity, interpersonal maturity, and on-the-job maturity. Five key areas: specialized, intellectual, entrepreneurial, interpersonal, and on-the-job maturity. It is so hard to have a person have on-job maturity when they've just come to the company or they've just been around for a while in that maturity of the job. Interpersonal maturity, knowledge of self and knowing what you can and cannot do. Never accept a job if you don't know yourself first and what you're capable of achieving or not doing. Don't let anybody talk you into that job. Entrepreneurial maturity. You have to think of us as an entrepreneurial person in this day and time if you're going to be a leader of an organization. If you can't lead your own company, how could you lead one that is there, a group? And each group is like an organization within itself, and you must be able to partner and go along with many people in order to run your company. And if you don't have those skill sets, it's kind of hard. And then intellectual maturity, knowing what your intellect, knowing what levels, how you're prepared and what you're prepared to do. Intellectual maturity also happens with college and schooling. Believe me, the higher up you go, the more schooling you need. If it's either formal or informal, but formal training specifically is geared toward knowing what classes you need to take. Unless somebody has developed reading materials and exercises and things for you to do on a self basis or a personal level that you need to go through in order to be the best leader that you need to be. And then there's specialized knowledge in that particular area. How do you know this? Not that you've had a job in a similar area, but that you have a specialized skills to do that. We've forgotten a lot about a lot of these things. We thought that because we're in this new market and we're trying to develop people, developing people in today's market is a little harder than it was in earlier markets because we had more time to get to action. In this particular market and where we are, we don't have as much time to get to market. And so I'll leave you and companies with this suggestion. You may want to link into our person with a discussion post that posted this and asked us this question to Dr. Marilyn's box. I would suggest that you guys work together to bring about the best combination of people needed to take care of a certain situation, and that you model and work with individuals and let them know the truth about what it is you're trying to achieve and to develop them into the best model that needs to be. I see a lot of companies out there suffering and hear a lot of stories from individuals that because of the bad management or the improper management, bad management is only as good as the company that's training them and developing them, that we have individuals that don't really know what to do or know how to listen. And believe me, nowadays, people don't listen to things that or from people that they don't think are knowledgeable or have the intellect to share with them at a particular level that's needed. That kind of wraps up our show for today. Thank you, reader. I hope we gave you some much needed information in order to know how to help your company master or maneuver the talent management equation as far as preparing individual for the next level in management. There are definitely a lot of resources out there. I provided you with Bram Loginski's, who's with Manpower. And I don't know Bram personally. I just thought that his article, his quote out of one of his articles was great. And there are several people out there that are experts at this. And they have quite a bit of knowledge and have researched quite a bit about things, and combine a team and get it done to order to come up with the most effective use of your competency levels in designing them. Don't think about friendships, think about expertise and knowledge, get your work done. Sometimes you may have to pay outside help to help you blend and balance things together. And that's our show for today. And if you have questions, you can contact me at Marilyn at drmarilyncarroll.com. Again, that's Marilyn at drmarilyncarroll.com, or that's Marilyn at drmarilyncarroll.com, or you can give me a call at 214-301-1664. Thank you for joining us on our show today.